Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Chadish Tarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare Vanchkapaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Ki Jai Srila Sanatan Goswami Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi. Yes, so we are at a point in the second section in the book where Narada Muni is explaining why, how it is that he feels that Prahlad Maharaj is the recipient of the greatest mercy of the Lord. Yes. So, he hasn't quite finished. It's from, the section is from verse 4 to verse 14. I think we got up to 12, if I'm not mistaken. So let's go back there, and then we'll carry on from there. What's happening? You know, you got to go into audio, yeah, and the top one, or you can just turn down the speaker at the bottom right of the okay, excuse me, devotees. So, right, we finished off, as I recall, that Narada told the story of Prahlad Maharaj on his way to the Naimisha forest, Naimisha Ranya, to have darshan of Lord Narayan, and the Lord who's known as Pitavas, means the Lord in yellow dress, and he's on his way to have darshan of the Lord in that form, but on the road he met some strange person who looked like a renunciate, but he was carrying a kshatriya's bow and arrows, some sort of, you might say, vanashram anomaly. Didn't really fit into the vanashram system. So Prahlad didn't like this, so he challenged him to fight, thinking that, yeah, it won't be so difficult to defeat him. But after 1 week, he couldn't defeat this fella. So, Prahlad, one morning after about a week, he worshipped his deity before the fighting began for the day and put a nice garland on the deity, did his puja, stood up, and then he saw that unusual mendicant Kshatriya person standing there, wearing the garland that the Lord had placed around the neck of his deity. So then he understood that this is actually my Lord. And then Prahlad said, you know, I have failed in my my duty as a Kshatriya because I promised to defeat you, but I couldn't. So what can I do about that? And then the Lord, being very satisfied by the fighting spirit of Prahlad, said, actually, I am always defeated by you. So, Narada Muni, he liked that. He really liked that. So then I'm going on now to verse 12. And in verse 12, Sri Parikshit continued, having said this, Narada, the ocean of ecstasies in devotion to Lord Hari, began to dance. That intimate servant of the Lord shouted, conquered by us, conquered by us. Yes. So, yeah, means that the Lord is actually conquered by all the devotees. Which takes us on then to verse 13. So, yeah, this is still Narada glorifying Prahlad. Is it okay?
Kripa is not able to go live from the origin.
He'll do that. Yes, right. So, verse 13. Narada is still speaking. This verse and the next verse is still Narada glorifying Prahlad. Sri Narada then said, O best of Vaishnavas, why should I say that Lord Mukunda has been conquered only by you? Your grandson, Bali, chief of the Daityas, has also conquered him. By your grace, Bali keeps the Lord as his doorman. Yes. So like that, Bali, through his devotion, the Lord became attracted and agreed to serve as his doorkeeper, sort of like security man, security guard, something like that. So, let's see. There's a nice verse quoted here. Because Bali, of course, he was king of the demons. Prahlad's father was Hiranyakashipu, who was very much the king of the demons. And so Prahlad was placed on the throne by the Lord after the killing of Hiranyakashipu, and Prahlad became king of the demons, even though he was a devotee. And then his grandson Bali became king of the demons. So how did Bali get such mercy when he's king of the demons? And a nice verse is quoted, Bhagavatam 8:23-6. O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, sorry, this is Prahlad. This is Prahlad speaking. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are universally worshipped. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva worship your lotus feet. Yet although you are such a great personality, you have kindly promised to protect us, the demons. I think that such kindness has never been achieved, even by Lord Brahma Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune. Lakshmi, what to speak of other demigods or the common people? Yes, so there's nice quote from Skanda Purana. Well, one event happened, listen to this, that in Skanda Purana, when Dwaraka city was once attacked by 10 powerful daityas, means demons, a committee of residents headed by Devasa Rishi went in great distress to the abode of Bali, Daityaraj. There the sage Devasa beseeched Lord Vamana to come to Dwaraka to defend them. But the Lord replied, O best of Brahmins, I am not independent. Because I am purchased by pure devotion and by that alone, I am now the order carrier of Bali. I am completely controlled by that king of the daityas. So my dear, excellent Brahman, please go ask the demon Bali, son of Virochana, and if he orders that I shall, at once do whatever you want. So, according to Skanda Purana, then these citizens, including Devasa, they went to Bali Maharaj, and asked him, could you please allow Lord Vamana to come to Sutala Loka and protect us? But Bali refused. Then Devasa threatened to fast until death unless the Lord came to protect them in Sutala Loka. Oh no, that the Lord come to protect them and leave Sutala Loka. But then Bali told him, let whatever you intend come about. Whatever you have in mind, please do that. But I shall never give up the 2 feet at which Brahma, Rudra, and all other demigods bow down. So Bali was not willing to give up the association of Lord Vamana, even though the situation was really desperate there in Dwaraka. Yeah. So then we come to 14, which is the last verse in this section of Narada Muni, glorifying the devotion of Prahlad Maharaj and explaining why, as far as he, Narada, is concerned, that this shows that Prahlad has got the supreme mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Narada says in verse 14, from now on, I intend to stay here permanently with you. By your power, I shall certainly be able to overcome the curses I received from Daksha and others. Yes. Daksha, of course, cursed Narada Muni. That's in the 6th canto. Here's a verse. Daksha curses Narada, 6.5.43. You have made me, so Daksha says, you have made me lose my sons once, and now you have again done the same inauspicious thing. Therefore, you're a rascal who does not know how to behave towards others. Daksha is speaking to Narada. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. 6.5.43. Then later on, or earlier on actually, in the fourth canto, chapter 27, verse 22, old age, this is in the story of Paranjan. Yes, very interesting story. So there, old age, the personality of old age, who is the daughter of time, asked Narada to marry her. But Narada, would you believe, refused. So old age, the daughter of time, then cursed Narada. Because you refused my request, you will not be able to stay in one place for a long time. I mean, generally we understand for more than 3 days. And Srila Prabhupada said that he took that curse, Narada handed the curse over to him, because Prabhupada was traveling so much and preaching. And then Prabhupada said he was handing the curse over to his senior disciples so that they would have to just go on traveling and preaching. And I can report to you all that I used to do that. I think you know. Traveling. Jesus, unbelievable. But for the last year and 2 months, I have hardly moved 1 inch. So I guess the curse has been reduced at least. Maybe I'll travel again after a while. So that was the section from verse 4 to verse 14 in which Narada expresses his appreciation for Prahlad and explains why Narada feels that Prahlad has been the recipient of the supreme mercy of the Lord. That was what we were reading there. From verse 4 to 14, now from verse 15, Narada refutes the praise of Prahlad refutes the praise of Narada and explains in considerable detail why he feels it's just not the case at all. Okay, so we begin with 15, which is just introducing the section. Sri Pariksit said, unable to tolerate hearing his own praise, Prahlad lowered his face in embarrassment, bowed down before Narada, and respectfully addressed him in a quiet voice. So, you know, this is very nice. We see in basically all these different personalities who Narada Muni is encountering here and there in all these different places. And Narada explains very nicely, actually, according to scripture, why he feels that these different devotees, one by one, they have been the recipients of the Lord's greatest mercy. So Narada does that, but then those devotees deny it completely, totally. And this is the symptom of an advanced devotee. One of the prominent symptoms, at least, particularly here within this material world, that the great devotees are extremely humble. And they sincerely and genuinely feel they just have no qualification. And they can present so many arguments, so much reasoning to explain why they feel they have actually got no mercy from the Lord. Because this little section here is, the heading is, how Prahlad feels he does not even have a single atom of mercy from the Lord. All right, so, because Prahlad was very respectful towards Narada Muni, therefore he expressed himself in a very gentle and humble way. Why is that? I mean, certain specific point. Because Narada Muni is the spiritual master of Prahlad. Therefore he didn't want to get a bit, you know, intense about it. But rather, he, in a very gentle, respectful way, he bowed down. And then, in a very quiet, gentle voice, he explained why he felt he had just no mercy from the Lord. And in the purport, it says that if Prahlad had not been addressing such a respected person as Narada, his spiritual master, then Prahlad might have expressed anger by raising his voice. Okay, so then the real arguments why he feels he's got no mercy, they start from verse 16. And, you know, there are purports here. There's lots of purports, actually. Yeah, there's purports to almost every verse. So you know what I'm going to do? The section goes, ultimately it goes to 39. But Prahlad's very humble presentation, it goes, anyway, it goes on to 39, let's just put it that way. I think that's a fair way to put it. All right, so then, where are we, 16, here we are. Sri Prahlad said, "My Lord and spiritual master, please reconsider everything. Please reconsider everything you have said. A young boy simply cannot understand correctly the science of devotional service to Krishna. Because Narada had said that as a child, you understood everything, and you're a pure devotee from your early childhood. But Prahlad says that, no, please don't say that, because a child, a young boy, cannot understand the science of Krishna consciousness properly. It's just not possible. So you can just forget about that idea. That's what Prahlad is saying. Then verses 17 and 18. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to read through all the verses. That's what I'm going to do. Then I'll come back and go through the verses with their purports. I'm sorry. I just get carried away with these things. So I'll begin again with verse 16, then I'll go straight on to 17. Sri Prahlad said, "My Lord and Master, please reconsider everything you've said. A young boy simply cannot understand correctly the science of devotional service to Krishna." And then verses 17 and 18. "Still, when one receives instructions from great souls, those instructions have the power to awaken one's higher understanding. And then one can engage in devotional service to Lord Hari. Therefore, it is not a sign of greatness that ordinary persons like me can persevere despite terrible disturbances, give spiritual enlightenment to children, behave like saintly persons, show compassion to suffering souls, or refuse the boon of liberation." Yes. "Merely from these symptoms, the best of saints do not conclude that Krishna has given a person his mercy. Krishna's mercy, blessed Narada, appears only in a truly worthy servant." Verse 20. "I have never performed any real service for the Lord like Hanuman and others have." Do you get the hint? Next one is going to be Hanuman. Yeah. "I have only remembered the Lord sometimes when my mind was troubled." I just see the amazing humility of Prahlad Maharaj, the elevated devotee. "You praise me because he caressed me and showed other signs of affection. But some consider such affectionate behavior merely a false show of Maya, and others just a display of his pastimes." 22. "You regard those affectionate displays as natural symptoms of his love, but I consider them no more real than a dream. And even if we accept them as real, they're still not evidence of his mercy." 23. "The Lord truly gives his mercy, saintly authorities believe, when he grants the right to render various kinds of service. A blessing he gives to such devotees as Hanuman. Nothing else counts as his mercy." That's quite a statement. when he gives the right to render various kinds of service like he does with Hanuman, then you can take it that he's giving his mercy. But nothing else can be considered his mercy. Furthermore, Sriman Rasinga performed his pastimes not to favor me, but to protect the demigods, his devotees, and to deliver two of his eternal servants. He also wished to uphold the truth of the words of Brahma and of others, such as Brahma's sons, and fully display the greatness of devotional service. These were the only reasons for his pastimes. 26. O greatest of devotees, who have nothing material to possess, when the personality of Godhead gave me a kingdom, I understood that I had not received even one atom of his mercy. How's he going to explain that? As the Lord says, when I wish to favor someone, I make him lose his opulences. Such statements as this are evidence, and so also are the statements of his exalted devotees. 28. Just see how my worship of the Lord has been eclipsed but by my attachment to ruling my kingdom and my ties to family members, servants, and others. For not crying over this in remorse, I should be condemned again and again. Right. Okay, we'll come back to this. 29. Why else would I have fought against the renowned Lord at Vishala, as if I had reverted to the low conditioning of my birth? Thirty. The demons, in their teachings, are always inclined to bad scholarship about the truth of the self. Because of my association with such demons, even today my understanding is not free from the degraded element of dry speculation. 31. So how can any pure devotion appear in me that would signify the Lord's mercy? I see proof of my lack of devotion when I ponder the wickedness of Banasura. Yes. Okay, 32. I have heard some say that now, after arresting and imprisoning Bali, the Lord stays here in Sutala as the doorman, just to keep him captive. In any case, I cannot say where the Lord is now. 33. On rare occasions, some persons like Ravana can see the Lord here. The Lord shows himself only when it suits his own purpose. He thus showed himself in this very place to Durvasa, because Durvasa had strong faith in being able to see the Lord. That's interesting. 34. Wherever one develops an intense desire to achieve the Supreme Lord, there one can obtain him. But the Lord's merely residing in a certain place does not grant one his association. 35. If my Lord were always present here in person, why would I have traveled all the way to Naimisharanya to see him as Lord Pitavas, the yellow-garbed form of Narayan? 36. We can say, this is Prahlad, now listen to this, this is nice. We can say that by your mercy, he's talking to Prahlad, we can say that by your mercy, I mean he's talking to Narada, we can say that by your mercy, Narada, the Supreme Lord developed some love for me, and so I appear glorious. But my greatness is just like a tiny speck before the heaps of mercy the Lord bestows on his newer devotees. Newer devotees, what is this now? 37. O Narada, your heart overflows with causeless compassion. Why should I go on describing all my misfortunes, which simply make you unhappy? Instead, please consider the Lord's mercy on Hanuman of the Kim Purushas. That's interesting. We're going to go there. Please note, my Lord, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared suddenly in his form of Narasimha just to kill my father. And as soon as the Lord fulfilled his purpose, he at once disappeared. And 39 is the last verse in this section. I haven't been able to see my Lord directly whenever I wanted. So when I saw him once on the shore of the ocean, it was just like seeing a dream. All right, so that's that section, just the verses. Let's go back and go through them more carefully, and go a little bit at least into the purports. So, right, we begin here. Well, verse 15, and 17 and 18. You just have a look at my notes. 15 to 39. Okay. All right, so Prahlad is now going to go on to describe the glories of Hanuman. Yeah. Well, he's going to, but here now we're going to read through the verses again and with their purports. All right. So we did 16, 17, and 18. Still, when one receives instructions from great souls, those instructions have the power to awaken one's higher understanding. And then one can engage in devotional service to Lord Hari. Therefore, it is not a sign of greatness that ordinary persons like me can persevere despite terrible disturbances, give spiritual enlightenment to children, behave like saintly persons, show compassion to suffering souls, or refuse the boon of liberation. So Prahlad said in 16 that, you know, you have said, Narada, you have said that as a child I did some nice devotional things. But what I say is, Prahlad says, when you receive instructions from great souls, those instructions have the potency to awaken one's higher understanding and empower one to do things which one otherwise would not at all think would be possible for you to do. Yeah. So therefore he's saying, you know, I tolerated the abuse of Hiranyakeshipu, my father, throwing me off a cliff, trying to have me cut to pieces with weapons and things like that. So Prahlad is saying that when you receive instructions from great devotees, those instructions, if you follow them, they give you the potency. And then you can become a devotee. So he's saying, that's what happened to me. They gave me their instructions. Those instructions transformed me. And therefore, when an ordinary person like me can tolerate, despite the terrible disturbances my father put me through, or give spiritual enlightenment to children, this is another thing Narada had mentioned, or behave in different ways, like as if I'm a saintly person, or sometimes it may appear I'm showing compassion to the suffering souls, and sometimes even it may seem like I am refusing this illusory benediction of liberation. Yes, so all these things are here then in this verses 17 and 18. How Prahlad is saying he didn't really get the Lord's mercy, but the devotees instructed him in such ways I became capable of doing special things. For example, here in the purport it says, beginners in sadhana bhakti should dance and sing as a matter of duty. In other words, each item Narada offers as a sign of Prahlad's greatness is simply a natural effect of pure devotional service, which he received through following the instructions of the great devotees. Now, it wasn't him, it was the instructions from the great devotees. But he does admit, yes, sometimes I dance and sing, but even practicing neophytes often show these outward symptoms, particularly when there's a kirtan. You know, I've hardly been in a kirtan for a year. Not exactly. Actually, I've been in kirtan. But up here in Joburg, just two kirtans. Yeah, two kirtans. So Prahlad argues that the way he has behaved in his childhood is no reason to credit him with having special spiritual qualities. Actually, Lord Nrisingadev and Prahlad's spiritual master, Sri Narada, they deserve all the credit. 19. Merely from these symptoms, the best of saints do not conclude that Krishna has given a person as mercy. Krishna's mercy, blessed Narada, appears only in a truly worthy servant. Yes. And who might that be? Prahlad is saying, not me. So, yeah. So Prahlad saying, I couldn't have received Krishna's special mercy because he gives it only to devotees who really deserve it. And you, Narada, you are blessed by the Lord's mercy. So you know very well that only a proper candidate can obtain it. The Lord's mercy is infinite, beyond the limits of time and space. But in the material world it becomes visible only at certain times in certain suitable devotees. Verse 20. I have never performed any real service for the Lord like Hanuman and others. I have only remembered the Lord sometimes when my mind was troubled. Yes. So Narada might interrupt. You are a devotee, and so you do deserve his mercy. But then Prahlad replies by contrasting himself with others like Hanuman, particularly, who serve the Lord actively. And Prahlad says, even now I'm only meditating on the Lord. I'm not doing any active service. I just remember him. So then Narada might say, well, remembering the Lord is one of the nine processes of pure devotional service. So therefore you are qualified. So Prahlad answers by saying that I don't remember the Lord all the time. I only remember him sometimes when I'm in difficulty, when my father's harassing me or something of that sort. And therefore, because I only remember him, I only focus on him when I'm in danger, that disqualifies me from Naam Smarana, remembering the holy names, Rupa Smarana, remembering the Lord's beautiful forms, or Leela Smarana, remembering the Lord's wonderful pastimes. So anyway, sure. It's hard to defeat someone like Prahlad. You praise me because he caressed me and showed other signs of affection. But some consider such affectionate behavior merely a false show of Maya. And others say it's just a display of his pastime. So there's a purport here which explains that the Advaitavadis, the Mayavadis, followers of Shankaracharya, they consider the loving exchanges the Lord has with his devotees to be just part of Maya, the illusion, another one of the illusions of life in this material world, just like other shows of affection between other people. So when the Lord shows affection to his devotees and the devotees for the Lord. It's just another form of illusory so-called affection. And they say that the absolute truth cannot be involved in such types of duality. But others say that these are the Lord's pastimes. That the Lord, in order to enjoy his transcendental pastimes, he displays affection for his devotees. So the purport says, here, Sri Prahlad's idea is that even though the Lord's displays of affection may be considered real, he has acted in these ways only to fulfill the purposes of his own enjoyment. He enjoys loving exchanges. That's why he has them, just because he enjoys them. And it's not really connected with some sort of deep relationship with his devotee. It's just he's enjoying himself, having that sort of pretending to care for his devotees. Verse 22. You regard those affectionate displays as natural symptoms of his love, but I consider them no more real than a dream. And even if we accept them as real, they're still not evidence of his mercy. So, Narada had said, as a great authority on Krishna consciousness, Narada said that Lord Nrisimhadev's displays of affection for Prahlad, they manifested from the Lord's natural compassion. So, if that's meant to be the case, then it would mean that the Lord does not necessarily have any special feeling for Prahlad. It's just that he feels sorry for people who are in difficulty. That's all. No special feelings for Prahlad as an individual. And just as the Lord gives his mercy to everyone, just like a fire in a forest just burns all the trees indiscriminately, so the Lord in this way apparently displayed special feelings for Prahlad. But still, Narada could say, but still he gave you special favor. Then Prahlad says that I think it's all just like a dream, hallucination. Which is sort of what the Mayavadis say about the Lord's merciful dealings. But here Prahlad is saying that they can be considered unreal because they're short-lived, just like a dream. So, like this, whatever Narada says, Prahlad has some clever answer for. That, you know, it's unreal. And even if it is real, but it's not so great as what you're saying it is. So we'll continue on tomorrow from verse 23 will continue on when he's going to start glorifying Hanuman more. Yeah, we'll continue on from verse 23. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.